Thank you for taking the time to listen to this life-changing message from the Ministry of Faith Bible Chapel. We hope this message will encourage you in all parts of your life. At the end of this message, you will hear more information on how to contact our church family, as well as directions for you to visit us for any of our worship services. Until then, join us for the service in progress.
It was everything. And as an adult, it's one of the favorite places I get to visit as well. And I remember about 9 years ago, my wife and I were on a vacation with some friends, and we came to this place where there was this 35-foot cliff, and you could jump off. And it was clear that people had done this for years. They had actually installed some handrails right at this point of jumping because so many people would do that. And my buddy and I, we decided, well, let's do that. It's clear you can make it. The blue turquoise water down below is plenty deep for what we're about to attempt. Let's go for it. Well, my buddy, his name is Todd, and he's got one of those quick triggers where he doesn't need a lot of information before he just dives in. And he just hardly even looked over the edge before he backed up and went running and sailing off the edge. And I thought, wow, I don't think I can pull it off quite like that. So I get up there and I stare and I look and I try and calculate where are the rocks, where are the sides of the cliff. And I really begin to realize that there's no trouble jumping off this cliff. It's a clear jump. Thousands of people have done this before. I should be able to do this. And as I'm working up my courage and I'm working up my ability to make the leap and to dive in, I begin to overthink it. Have any of you ever overthought anything before? I certainly have. And it's this moment where you begin to overcalculate the things that could go wrong or the things that should go right, and then you start worrying about the wind drift, and your mind begins to outthink your body, and yet you know you've got to go for it. You've got to make the move. And so there's this moment where I flinch. Everything within me said jump, but somewhere innately, I stopped myself. And I realized I had to back away and realize I'm going to have to get over that initial flinch to even make the jump. And I then start the whole process over again. And it probably took me about 40 minutes before I eventually made the leap and it was just fine. But this is the experience that we often come to when we're trying to jump in or dive into something. And then as I reflected, it wasn't but like 3 years past, 3 years from now, where Jeanette and I were on a vacation alone, and we came upon this river. And at the point of this river, there's about a 20-foot waterfall, much smaller, but a swimming pool, you know, a swimming pond, like a little swimming hole right beneath this waterfall. And the same experience happens. I decide I'd like to jump off this. I've jumped off far higher. This should be easy. And I begin to overthink it again. And I find myself at the top of this waterfall deciding, I'm not sure if I want to jump in. I've done it before. I don't need the thrill of the dive in. I don't need to risk again. And I begin to outthink myself. And so I decide to sit on one of the rocks near the waterfall and begin to watch all the folks jumping off. And I'll be the first to admit, it was a little intimidating, like when the 10-year-olds were doing backflips off the waterfall. And I couldn't muster the strength to just throw myself off forward. And I realized I'm outthinking it again. Well, I sat there probably another 30, 40 minutes, well over an hour. And at the end of the day, I decided to just walk away. Jeanette and I ended up enjoying what the river had in terms of its beauty, but we walked to the car, and I didn't make the leap. And I realized when we come to this place with God, on our journey with Jesus Christ, there are moments that he's going to ask us to leap. And there are moments that we're going to question that, and we're going to overthink it, and we're going to not follow his spirit in how his spirit's guiding us. And sometimes we make that leap reluctantly, and other times we just back away and don't make the leap at all. And I would say it's more true when God's spirit asks us to go deeper with him in our walk with him than it is in any other way. You've heard me talk about various job changes and taking a leap of faith when God calls us to do something that's fairly scary in terms of a new job or a new profession or talking to our neighbor about Jesus. But I think sometimes the scariest leaps are when God calls us to go deeper with him and his Holy Spirit. So God, we just ask you today, as you challenge each of us to go deeper in following who your Holy Spirit is, the way you guide us in life, that God, you'd begin to give us the courage to make that leap, that as we understand that you have so much for us, that God, we would not back away, that we would say yes excitedly. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I was so excited about this weekend and this message because a couple things seemed to begin to connect for me. We started planning this sermon series, and if you haven't been with us, we're into a new sermon series. We're 3 weeks in. It's called The God You Can Feel, Water, Wind, and Fire. And we started planning it about 2-3 months ago, and Pastor Blake Maddox and myself and Pastor Gary Beasley and Pastor George were really praying and pushing into what God would have for this series because we knew we wanted to speak about the Holy Spirit. And we begin to have this revelation that the Holy Spirit is this side of God that we can feel, that it isn't just something we can hear or see, but it's this peace of God we can feel. And for those of you that appreciate theology, I'll just go briefly to the basics. We experience God through three expressions, three persons in one. There's God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And we realize that as we wanted to talk about the Holy Spirit, there is this portion of who the Holy Spirit is that we could feel. And we begin to explore Scripture and realize that in the Old Testament, we see God speaking often. In fact, He speaks creation into existence. We know that in Genesis. And in this moment, it says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And God said, let there be light. There's this attribute of God that He speaks and creates. And if you know the Genesis account, He continues to speak things into existence. There's this idea that God speaks and we hear. We see that in Moses when God gives the Ten Commandments and all the other law, that He spoke and we heard. And as you go further into the Old Testament, you see that prophets would speak on behalf of God. And even when seasons where prophets weren't speaking, the notion of the day was that God isn't speaking to us. We aren't hearing Him. And so there's this moment in history and the season of history where we experience God through hearing Him. And then we get into what we would say sort of the middle of the Bible, the Gospels, and God creates and sends His Son this experience for us. He creates in us, in His Son, an experience for us to see Him. And He creates Jesus and sends Him down. Doesn't necessarily create Him there, but He sends Him in the flesh, and He takes on flesh. So He's fully God and fully human. And we see Jesus, and people could touch Him and see Him and see His miracles and see how He interacted with people and see how He looked at the law and Scriptures, and there's this experience of seeing Him. And unfortunately, the truth is, we don't have the chance to see Jesus walk the earth with us. We only see Jesus through the reflection of the four Gospels, and how thankful are we that we get to see Jesus through the stories that these men recorded of the life of Jesus. But we come into this place where Jesus even says, I must go, but there is one coming after me, the Holy Spirit, who will guide you and soak you and overwhelm you, and you will feel Him. And we begin to realize there's this experience with God that we can feel God through the work of the Holy Spirit. And back to that beginning, what I love about the creation story is all three expressions of who God is was there. Obviously, God the Father was there. He was creating. But it says in Genesis 1:2, the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. Before there was the creation of existence, the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters, that the Spirit is tied to water. It's tied to pouring out. We later read in John, where John ties Jesus to creation as well. So we know at the moment of creation, God the Father, the Son, and the Spirit was there hovering over the waters. And that's home. When you think about how God intended life to be perfect, the Garden of Eden, free from sin, creation represents home. And to experience God as Father, Son, and Spirit is like going home. Well, I started to get excited about this message because we're doing baptism today, and then we have some folks here that are going to get baptized as part of our service toward the end, and we're going to be speaking on the Holy Spirit and water, and my passion for speaking on the Holy Spirit because it was such a foreign thing to me when I first came to this church, and I begin to get excited about connecting all these dots, and I begin to see God in creation and the Spirit connected with water, and I begin to see Elijah pour water on the altar, and then God's fire come down and consume, and I start to connect the dots of even when Jesus was baptized, there's this moment where the Father speaks, you are my Son, and I'm well pleased, and the Spirit descends on Him like a dove and then leads Him out to the desert. So even in Jesus' baptism, which we're going to experience baptism today, all three persons of God were there, God the Father, the Son, and the Spirit, and there's something profound in that. And then I was hoping to connect this idea of the living water and the Samaritan woman who was living a life of sin and trapped by her own hang-ups. And God asks her for a cup of water. Jesus does and says, may I have a cup of water, which is so countercultural. And then he ends up offering her living water as life that will she'll never be thirsty again, and it transforms her life. And I got super excited about all these profound connections. And so I saw this all starting to shape, and an opportunity came for me. A buddy pass came, and someone said, why don't you take a couple days to go to California? And they know my love for the ocean, and why don't you just study about this message with the ocean there and freedom to just see what God has for you. And I had a chance to stay with some friends. And so I take them up, I take the buddy pass, I go stay with some friends. I have 2 days to focus on what I'm excited about this exciting message. And that first morning, this was Friday, a week ago, I wake up thinking, God, it's so rare that I have a chance to not have an agenda for the day. You can ask my wife, I wake up like 7 items on my to-do list. I'm already behind, and I never actually complete a to-do list because in my head it's always longer than is actually humanly possible. I wake up knowing there's this event to go to, this meeting to go to, and there's rarely a space for complete freedom. And I just said, God, would you allow me to experience a freedom of walking with your Spirit these 2 days that I rarely get the chance to do? And speak something to me in that, because I'm really excited about sharing this message. And I begin to live life very fluidly. And I would encourage you, as I learned in these 2 days, to do this even when we don't have that freedom. And I begin to ask God, what do you want me to do in this moment? Is it okay if I go for a run? Yes, it's okay if I go for a run. So I drive into Huntington Beach and run 4 miles along the coast, and it was glorious, and have a great prayer time while I'm running. And I even took my clothes thinking, well, what if God tells me to go somewhere else right from there? I should shower like where the surfers shower and take my clothes and go. I'm going to be so fluid, I'm going to take my suitcase with me to the beach. And I do that. And I feel like God says, no, it's okay. You can go back to your friend's house and shower, and I'll guide you from there. So I keep following God's Spirit moment by moment. And ultimately, I feel the freedom to go to this place called Corona Del Mar, which is one of my favorite places in the kind of Orange County area. The reason is God has spoken to me personally, profoundly, and to my wife and I in this spot. And so there's this grassy area on the cliffs that I just wanted to go study Scripture and write this message and get excited. And God begins to let me just soak there. And he doesn't let me start writing. I really felt like he told me just to journal. And there's some things he spoke last time I was there I hadn't journaled and maybe hadn't accepted and surrendered to. And so he had me journal. And then I see this woman, well, there's multi-million dollar houses along the coast here. I see this nurse, an Asian woman, supporting one of the homeowners out of her car. And God says, I want you to go pray for them. And I'm thinking, I'm an introvert. I'm nervous. I'm scared. Do you really want me to introduce myself? I'm like in shorts and flip-flops, and you want me to go pray for them. And so I make this sort of agreement with God as they walked in the house. Well, if the nurse comes out and moves the car in to the garage, then that'll be the sign you really want me to do it. Well, only 10 minutes later, the nurse is back out moving the car in. So I drift over there and obviously looking like a tourist. And I think, God, I don't know how I'm going to do this. I don't want to scare her. And she begins to pull the car in and out like 7 times to like perfectly park it. And it made it easy for her to notice me. I thought, God, that's just like you. You're going to force me to do this by making her do this for 10 minutes. And she gets out and she can tell I'm waiting for her. She can tell that I want to say something to her. And I just introduced myself. I said, I don't know if this makes any sense, but I feel like God led me to come pray for you. And I just felt like I was supposed to do that. And she shares her story. She's been in the United States 20 years. She's from the Philippines. And she has 4 children. And she came to the States to raise them and provide for them when her husband passed away 20 years ago. And she said, my only strength has been Jesus. And I just needed that encouragement today. And there was no miracle. It's not like I healed something. I was just obedient. And God begins to play out the rest of the day this way for me. And I'm being fluid with God's Spirit, and it's fascinating, and I'm trying to soak up all that he has for me. Well, I get excited, and he finally gives me the freedom to begin to write, and I write what is starting to become what I felt was some profound things about a message that would connect all these things, and I just kind of end the day. I'd got 3/4 the way through it, I end the day. I go for another run as the sun's setting because when I'm there with my wife, she likes me by her side, and I like to be by her side at the sunset, so I don't get a chance to run at sunset, so I do that, and the day ends, and nothing profound. But I get up the next day, and I begin to realize God wants me to lead this day the same way. It wasn't the point of the message. The point was to be there and experience God. And no running today. I didn't feel the freedom to do that. But go to Huntington Beach and go sit on the pier. And thankfully, he gave me the freedom to have a Starbucks. And so I enjoyed my Starbucks on Huntington Beach Pier and began to watch this dynamic of what was happening on the beach and the ocean. And the pier, if you've been there, is a massive pier. It's very tall. You can kind of see over the waves. You can see over the beach and have this bird's eye view of what's happening. And I sit there for about an hour, and this lifeguard training group came by, about 24 young adults, and one was a girl, and they're marine officer training them about the currents and the surf, and I'm just listening in and getting educated, and it's fascinating. And God begins to show me that the ocean is much like him, that you can hear it. We all know that distinct sound of the ocean. You can see it. There's nothing more beautiful than when you first crest over the hill and you see that ocean on the horizon, but you can feel it. And God wants us to feel the ocean. He wants us to feel his Holy Spirit, and it begins to connect some things. And I thank him for that moment. I walk back to the car, and I begin to feel him challenging me. I want you to go in the ocean. I didn't just bring you here to observe that you could feel the ocean. I want you to feel the ocean. And he begins to tell me, don't take your laptop down to the beach. I don't want you to finish your message. So I wrestle with him. I don't really want to get in the ocean. It's April. It's the Pacific Ocean. It's cold. Everybody on there, in there, has full wetsuits. But I'll walk down there, and I'll put on my swimming trunks just in case you really want me to do that. And so I walk down there, and I realize he's going to want me to go in the ocean, but I'm going to delay that jump just like I have before. And I begin to talk to him, and I said, God, what do you want from me? What are you trying to show me? And he says, I want you to scrap your message. And I thought, oh my gosh, like that whole thing I wrote yesterday? He's like, throw it out, every bit of it. Okay, well, I don't know what you want me to say. And he says, I'm going to tell you. So here I am telling you, and the rest of the few minutes we have together is going to be the story of what God wanted to say to me so I could say it to you guys as we learn together, and he wanted to scrap out all those really cool and profound things that I was excited about. And I had to be obedient in that moment. And I begin to watch, all right, God, you want to show me something. I begin to see this dividing line between beach and water, and I realize we often say, let's go to the beach. And often we mean, let's go to the beach. But few people and fewer people in this scenario were actually in the water. But the joy of the experience of going to the beach is actually the water. We probably should say, let's go to the ocean. But what I realize is we say we go to the beach because so many people don't actually make it into the water. We prop up our chairs and we sit there and we observe the few people who are actually in the water. And I began to notice that this was happening. It was a Saturday. It was last Saturday. Tons of people on the beach and very few people in the water. And I began to realize that there's this disparity. God wants us, when we come, to be ready to go into the water. And he wants us to be excited about that. He wants us to come in anticipation of that. And in an instant, standing there on the beach, I felt myself up here. And the kind of altar stage area here and the seats became kind of this dividing line. And I saw myself in the seats on the beach, and I saw what God was trying to do up here as the water, and he was trying to stir things. And I realized when we come to the beach, when we come to the seats, we've got to be ready to go into the water. And it was convicting to me that when I'm not speaking, I come sit in the seats. And I don't know if I'm really fully prepared to go into the water with God. I'm prepared to sit there, and I'm prepared to watch what's happening up there. And there was a surf competition on the other side of the pier, and I realized in some circumstances, the intent isn't to be in the water. We watch the pros do what they do, and we cheer or we hold up our scorecards. But when we're just coming to the beach, we're supposed to enter into the water. And I realized, I think sometimes in the seats, when I'm here at church, I try and hold up that scorecard of how was worship? How was the message? It was an 8 out of a 10. Worship was a 6 out of 10, or it was a 10 today. And I do it from the position of judge and person in the seats, as opposed to someone who came in expecting the water to move in me, to move in it myself. And I was studying this week, I work with my son on his memory verses, my wife does too, and this week his verse was a Psalm 100, verse 4. And it was this idea that we are to enter his gates with thanksgiving and enter his courts with praise. And it, as he's memorizing it, it challenged me. Do I enter through those doors with praise on my heart already? Or do I come expecting someone else produce an experience that causes me to praise? And it was a great conviction. And I said, God, thank you. Thank you for this understanding of the beach and the ocean. You're going to have to show me more with that. Show me more what you want us to know. And he begins to show me that in the waters, mostly children and teens, and maybe a few people who really love the ocean, like surfers, that are going to be there every morning and every night. But for the most part, those that came to the beach, the only ones in the water are young people. For the most part, there's a few older because they love it and they value it. And he began to show me, maybe we need to learn something from the youth. And he began to speak to me, in our church, and if you guys aren't aware of this, I want to make you aware, in the junior high, in the high school, in our young adults, God's Spirit is moving in profound and incredible ways. They are playing in the water of the Holy Spirit. And I realize it's just like the beach. Some of us that are older, I'll be 36 this month. Listen, I didn't want to get in that water. There was nothing motivating me other than God speaking to get in that water. I've been in the water before. I don't need to enter into the water to know what it feels like to be in the water. And he began to kind of check my attitude that so many of us that are, say, 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s, we've been in the water of the Holy Spirit in service. And we don't always come anticipating that God is going to ask us to go into the water too. And he began to show me that there's amazing things happening, which I already knew, but he began to correlate them that in our young people in our church, there's amazing things happening. And we need to not only go in the water and watch them go in the water, but we need to embrace that they're there and enjoying it and playing it. And then immediately he showed me this father and daughter who were learning how to bodyboard. The dad was teaching the daughter, and it reminded me of so many times I've been in that spot with David teaching him how to bodyboard. And I watched this father and the daughter have this immense amount of joy. And the father was just so excited every time he could help the daughter catch the wave. And I realized there's a generational transference of experience that needs to happen, that those of us who are in our 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s, we need to get in the water with those that are below us and not just teach them how to ride in the water, but experience joy in the water with them. When I go to the beach with our family, I'll go in the water, but my joy to be in the water is because I'm with my son and my daughter and my wife, and I get to help them experience something. I could bodyboard and enjoy it, and it's joyous, but there's no greater joy than when I kind of help David prop himself up on the board, help him catch that wave, and he rides all the way into the shore with a grin from ear to ear. And there's an experience, and I would say God is challenging us as a church to be willing to take that experience we know of the Holy Spirit and help teach those beneath us how to move in that, how to flow in that. But it's going to require us to get in the water with him. Listen, I never bodyboarded as a kid. I didn't know how to do it, but David, when he was young, begged me to teach him. Well, I had to get in the water and do new things and use a method of enjoying the water that I never knew, but it's the way in which he was learning in his generation to do it. And God began to speak to me that so many of us maybe misunderstand how our younger people flow in the Holy Spirit and move in the giftings of who Jesus is and who the Holy Spirit is, and we're scared to get in the water with them because we're not sure we have the ability to flow with them. Well, I would challenge us, let's get in the water. Let's play with them, be full of joy with them, and then show them what we know about the water so we can send them to the shore to transform the hearts of people. I begin to ask God for more, and I thanked him, and God, you've revealed so much, and it's challenged me, and I so appreciate that. And I said, you've got to have more. There's a message. You've got to give me more than this. And he goes, well, I want you, as you've thrown out your message, my only question, my only ask of you is to help people jump in to my Holy Spirit. Let's jump in. Let's get them to jump in. And I said, well, great, I can share these stories and they'll jump in. And he said, how can you get them to jump in if you're standing on the shore, if you're standing on the beach? I want you to go out there. I said, God, you already said that, but I really don't want to go out there. He said, well, I have nothing more to say to you until you're out in the water. Thanks, God. Here we go again. It's going to be this moment of wrestling. And there's no cliff. It should be pretty easy to walk into this water, but for some reason I'm doing my little game with God where I'm scared to jump in and I'm apprehensive. And in that moment, I see two teens. They must have been dating, young man, young woman, probably 18 or 19. And you can tell they're kind of lining up to run in. You guys have been to the beach. You've seen where teens often will just like full out sprint into the water and just dive wildly and crazily into the water. You know what I'm talking about? You can tell they're lining up to do this. And in a moment, they just bolt for the water. Well, as soon as they hit the water, the young man, he keeps running full speed. He dives in, he comes up out of the water. He dives in, comes out, dives in again, just full on, no restraint. And then he looks up and he realizes his girlfriend is still back there, ankle deep, screaming her head off because it's so cold. And so he runs and gets her and throws her in, and they're having their little fun moment. And God begins to speak to me. I want you to go in like he went in. I thought, God, I'm here by myself. Do you really want me to run in like that? That seems obnoxious. That's not exactly how I'd prefer to go in. And I can tell by the way she screamed, the water is as cold as I think it is, because she was screaming for quite a while. You could hear her quite a ways away. And I'm thinking, I'm probably going to scream like that 17-year-old girl. But you're telling me to do this. My preference would be if I could get my toes in, my ankles, my knees, and get past that point of no return until you go under. That's what I'd like to do, God. And he said, I want you to run in there. And I began to ask him why. And he said, because the experience of my Holy Spirit should be one you approach with passion and joy. And tiptoeing your way in is not exactly evidence of passion or joy. And once again, feel the conviction of God really challenging me how I come to him when I come to the experience of church. And do I come in anticipation of passion and joy? And so I realize at this point, I can't walk away. It'd be only disobedience. It's not just this moment of, well, I think God told me to go in the water. It's he's telling me how and when. And I gear myself up. You know, I've been there already 30 minutes standing there having this experience, delaying the inevitable. And I gear myself up and I flinch. And I realize it's just as easy for me to back away even when God spoke so clearly how he wants me to do something. And I begin to wrestle with him some more and realize I've got to surrender. And I realize the only way I'm going to be able to do this is I can't time the waves. If I worry about when a wave's crashing or how high it'll hit me when I run in and overcalculate everything, I'm not going to do it. I just got to close my eyes and I'm going to have to hold myself accountable and count down from 10. So I wait a while before I actually do that, because once I close my eyes and start counting, I'm going to have to go. But I eventually do it. I close my eyes, start counting 10, 9, 8, and my count starts getting slower, 7, 6, and my heart begins to race knowing I'm going to go. You guys, it's not that hard. I'm running into the water. Should be easy, right? But God sometimes brings us to that point where we've got to obey or walk away. And at 1, obviously, I hit 0. I take off running. And I can't really describe to you. I will try to describe to you what this felt like. But I hit the water full speed over the first wave, dive in. And it is not just cold. Like, that's chilly. It is like lose your breath, pass out cold. So I come up for water, and I have no breath, and I'm screaming. And I realize he wants me to do this twice more, like he said. So the next wave hits. You know, I'm running out further now, full speed, dive in, come up, less breath, which I didn't know I had less breath to have. Do it a third time, and I have no breath left, and I'm crossed between anger and complete joy and exhilaration. And finally, I just surrender the anger of the cold and realize that was a blast. And it was exciting to go past that point of fear and anticipation and overcalculation and just passionately, joyously experience God. And it was frigid and cold, and I just realized I'm out in the water, I might as well play. And as the waves are hitting, I'm enjoying it, I'm trying to surf them, and the waves were especially disorganized that day, and they're coming from the reverse, and they're kind of crashing in the middle at times. And it was just this moment of joy, and I won't pretend to do it here because I'm not extremely extroverted, but I will give it a try. I just began to sing and praise and jump in the water like a 5-year-old kid. And I began to splash, and God, you are so good, and you're amazing, and you have so much for us, and your spirit is so good to us, and you want us to involve ourselves with you at worship and at church and when we're in the car on the highway, and you've got so much for us. And I'm just like flinging water over. I'm playing like a 3-year-old in a pool in the backyard. And and making a fool of myself because I don't really care who's hearing me. And it was this amazing experience of joy with God's Spirit. And what he said was, from here, I just want to invite you into the water. I want you to invite the people who are there at church into the water of my Holy Spirit. And I think so often we come and we hope and we trust that our worship team has prayed and fasted and gotten the water, but and they do every week. But honestly, they shared with me last night, you know, sometimes we have trouble getting in the water. And when the congregation's in the water before us, it draws us into God's Spirit more. And there's this reciprocation that happens that when they're in the water and we're in the water, God does amazing things in our times of worship. And when you're in those moments in the car where you're headed to a meeting and you're frustrated, I would encourage you, be in the water with God in that moment, because he'll give you the wisdom of how to walk through that meeting. And God's just inviting you in this weekend to get wet, to jump in the water. And so we're going to do that in a couple different ways. The first way, we're going to do that with baptism. So in just a few moments, I want to call up those that are going to be baptized, but I'm going to ask our worship team to come up right now. They've got a song that I just think speaks to us and will speak to you, that there's a moment where we're to come home, where God was there when he created things, where Jesus was there at the creation, where the Spirit was hovering over the waters. That's home for us. And as these folks are going to be baptized, they're facing, you know, rejection from family members, possibly, who don't follow the same faith. They're facing public adversity for following Christ. So we all know what that feels like when we've chosen the way of Christ. It doesn't always come easily. We want to come home, and so we're going to invite them home, but I'm going to invite each of you home to a genuine experience with God's Spirit. So as we sing this, I just ask you to let the Spirit of God soak in your heart and begin to invite you home.
Something personal to you. If you would like more information about our church family or service times, please call us at 303-424-2121 or visit us at our website, www.fbci.org. Faith Bible Chapel currently meets in our Family Worship Center, located on the corner of 62nd Avenue and Ward Road.